And welcome to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and you may have noticed that we're slightly different in our opening this time around. I got kind of bored with having the disclaimer at the front of every episode, so we put down a text disclaimer on the website so you can read it there. That way you don't have to put up with that little disclaimer thing at the beginning of every single episode, which I think can get a little tiring after a while. So, it's been a while. It's been about 2 weeks or so since we've had our last episode. Various things happen. People get colds or things like that. So don't worry about it. And besides, we gave you 3 episodes, and one of them was a Glorious Excess episode for Christmas. So, really, don't worry. We've got a lot. We really haven't gone back on content or anything. So, what are we going to talk about in this episode? Well, we were going to do a 100% newsity episode, but I realized that we should only really do 100% newsity if that's really all we've got for that. And I've got a couple impressions and a couple other things we want to talk about. Before we get into that, though, let's go ahead and get into the newsity. So, let's go ahead and cue up our newsity theme. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's get into what happened. There was a Nintendo investors meeting that happened recently, and there were quite a few announcements, good news, bad news from both Sony and Nintendo. And let's go ahead and give you the raw overview of that, because after all, it's been a while since we've had one of these, and I'll just give you a real quick rundown. Okay. Nintendo announced Nintendo Network. Nintendo Network is already being used for the Mario Kart 7 community feature. In other words, Nintendo just announced a name for a feature that they've already used in the past. The thing with the Nintendo Network is that they set it up so that they can add downloadable content, paid downloadable content, to games that are on the Nintendo 3DS, which you can download from the eShop. There's actually a couple games already released in Japan that already allow you to buy DLC for them. And one of the big upcoming ones is Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy, or rather Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm, where you get to play, it's a rhythm game with Final Fantasy characters and Final Fantasy music. And the packs for it are going to be about $15 for some of these. They're like huge packs of music. And not all of those in the future will be from the Final Fantasy series, so that's a good thing, I guess. It's a really horrible slippery slope. You all know how I feel about DLC. But they also announced that they're going to allow something called it's a near-field reader. Think kind of like when you go to a store and you can tap your credit card to pay with it. They added that type of functionality, the Nintendo Wii U controller, which they may also rename. But since that's not a portable, we're going to push that to the side a bit. They announced that they intend, and they have the infrastructure up, to allow for digital download of retail titles from the Nintendo eShop. Meaning in the future, if you have a large enough memory card, SD card in your system, you can go ahead and download a retail copy of, say, Resident Evil Revelations or Super Mario 3D Land for a discounted price, of course, than what it normally would be if you bought it retail. Nintendo has the infrastructure for that, and it's funny that they announced this because there's already full retail DS games on DSiWare. We're not talking Plants vs. Zombies. That's different from the DS version. We're talking games like Animal Boxing and Little Red Riding Hood Zombie Barbecue. two games that were released in Europe only for DSiWare, but had retail releases in the United States on the DS, and also on the DSiWare. It's kind of funny that they announced, oh hey, we have downloadable content for our Nintendo Network, and we'll have downloadable digital downloads for full retail titles in the future, even though they have all three of those things now. Yeah, that's Nintendo for you. So anyways, that's what they mentioned. Also, they mentioned, like, offhand, that in the future they could update the firmware on the Nintendo 3DS to support SDXC cards, which would be great because those can go up to about 2 gig. Sorry, up to 4 gig. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They also announced a 2D Super Mario Bros. Game to be released for the 3DS within the next fiscal year. The fiscal year starts in April 2012 and ends March 2013. So this sounds like a Christmas surprise, I think, hopefully. Who knows, but there'll be a new Super Mario Bros. 2D title. There's a couple rumors that came out of that. There was a retailer listing for Soul Calibur 5 for the 3DS, but nothing's been announced. It just recently was released for the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and honestly, I seriously do not doubt that a 3DS and Vita version of the of Soul Calibur 5 is on the way. It should be, and they should definitely do this. There's also apparently a new retro-styled 2D Zelda game coming out for the 3DS, but no word on what it is and when it's coming out or who's working on it. Right now, that's just a little bit of a rumor. 3DS is still selling well. The Vita is still selling kind of poorly. But the Vita did get past 500,000 units on one of their titles, Hot Shots Golf 6, for the Sony Vita, PlayStation Vita, which you can win, by the way, if you go to Taco Bell and fork out $5 for their box, if they have the boxes in. But that's neither here nor there. Anyways, they broke over 500,000 units sold for that game. Yay, congratulations to the Vita. You've been out since early December. It's already February. It's been 3 months. And you already have a game that sold 500,000 copies. Congratulations, you're doing so well. Oh well, I think people aren't buying the Vita or buying games for Vita because they're really expensive, and because even some of the games don't even have a discount if you buy them downloadable. For example, Uncharted for the PlayStation Vita is $50 retail and $50 download. Some of the games are a little cheaper on download, but you have to put up with the fact that they're slower than the cards. And that's because of Sony's proprietary memory format, where they make up their own little format that is, let's just say, SD cards are ranked by class. Some of the fastest ones are class 10 and above. I would say that the memory cards for the Vita are a class 2 or below. Kind of like how there's a 1x speed UMD drive in the PlayStation Portable, the originals, and then there's a 1.5x UMD drive in the PlayStation Portable 3000. It's like Sony kind of, but yeah, it's not selling too well, but it does launch this month, this February, here in the United States. In fact, I got to try one out, actually, recently. If you go to Best Buy and you talk to some of the people there in the electronics section, I know you have to go into a Best Buy and you have to talk to people. It's scary. Don't let that deter you, though, because most of the time, it's supposed to be chained to them or something. But when I went over there, I talked to a person. He's just like, okay, I'm going to wander around here and do stuff. Don't walk off with this. So I got a pretty neat little hands-on with the system. I messed around with the settings for it. Unfortunately, the majority of the system I was using was kind of locked down, meaning not locked down because it was a retail demo, locked down because everything requires a update to use. You go and you click on the browser, requires an update. Click on some of the other settings, like music settings, required an update. Movie settings, requires an update. Shop, requires an update. Pretty much the only thing that really worked on there was the welcome park, where you get to play a little thing where you tilt or move the controller, move the PlayStation Vita around to test out the gyroscope, and then Little Deviance. Little Deviance is a little bit like Super Monkey Ball, but instead of moving the arena that you're in, you kind of push the terrain up below you to very awkwardly try and move your little deviant creature around obstacles to pick up a key to exit the level. And the graphics are pretty neat. I got to play it with headphones on because I brought headphones with me, and Little Deviance is kind of terrible. I'm sorry, there's not enough content in this game. It's like, I was messing around with it. It's a full retail game in there. It's kind of short. And it just felt that it was a tech demo that someone... If it were on DSiWare, it would be $5. It'd be $4.99 on DSiWare or on the eShop. And it'd probably look the same and probably have you using the gyroscope instead of pushing up on the terrain. I know that you can use the back touch ability for something, but I haven't seen anything really compelling use for it yet. The gyroscope, both the iPod Touch, the iPad, and the Nintendo 3DS can all do that as well. And with the gyroscope aiming, like for example, on the Resident Evil Revelations demo, that has some of the best gyroscope aiming. That and Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. But yeah, it works really well with that. There's a lag between it when I was messing around with the Vita. And there really shouldn't be a lag between it. Overall, I felt the unit has a really pretty screen. It's practically a tablet. The system itself is actually slightly longer and larger than the PSP 3000 or 2000. And, it's actually the same thickness or so as a PSP 3000. It's thinner than the 3DS, but it's larger than the 3DS, even if you put the CirclePad Pro on the 3DS. And that's kind of saying something about this. The Sony PlayStation Portable Vita is kind of a tablet with buttons, which would be awesome if it had a multi-touch screen, which it doesn't. The sticks themselves kind of protrude outwards quite a bit, and they feel kind of cheap. Like, oh, I'm gonna put this in my backpack one day, or in a bag one day, and those are gonna snap off. I honestly feel that they should copy kind of more like what Nintendo did with the Slide Pad, or with what the Neo Geo Pocket Color did with the Click Pad. It's definitely... I can imagine them being kind of... The system isn't comfortable, as comfortable as I thought it would be. I've seen some places that sell like battery grips that for it, you know, that they're planning to sell for it. It might be worthwhile to pick one of those up. I also got to see the little red blinking light when you start getting low battery. And I was playing around with the thing for about... I spent about a good half hour or so with the system. And I feel that they trust me too much with this. I was messing around with the settings. I rearranged all the icons. Changed the background colors a bit. I was kind of disappointed that it was kind of locked off, so I couldn't actually... one thing I like to do to PlayStation portable units that are on display is change their background to something for DMGice.com or Radio DMG. I couldn't do that with the Vita because the new menus are really confusing to go through. But the bubbles are kind of like where I want these to go. Kind of like if you look at an iPad or a Kindle Fire or any of the tablets, they have all the icons as little buttons in a row, and you can move them around and rearrange them like so. The PlayStation Vita, decided that they wanted to go with these little bubbles, and it's really kind of awkward because you can't change the size of the bubbles. And you can't, like, change how they're set in the screen. At least it's not in any way evident. Well, in order to access the way to do those, you just hold down your finger on an icon and it'll bring up that menu. Kind of like what you can do with the iPod or most other tablets out there. But it was just kind of like, One thing I like, though, is when you exit like a program, like say you're playing Little Deviants and you hit the home button, it'll put it on a separate little page. You slide up or down to go through the menus. You slide left or right to go through the main menu and what you last put in your page. You can have different pages, like several pages open at once, kind of like tab browsing. And in order to get rid of those, you move your finger up to the right-hand corner and push downward and to the left to like you're flicking away a page. That's also how, if you put it into sleep mode, that's how you wake it up. You put your finger in the right-hand panel and you move downward toward the left, kind of like you're flipping a page, which I like that. That's kind of neat. But I do feel they need to work on the iOS, and I wish I could have tried out the browser, but that wasn't up or working because it requires a firmware update. In fact, like I said, the majority of this thing requires a firmware update. The buttons are kind of squishy, which means they're actually less clicky than the ones on the. They don't have much tension to them. They're kind of like, I guess the best way to describe it would be a laptop keyboard, or I would say they have less. Pushback than some of the buttons on, like, say, the 3DS or even the original PSP. The original PSP had a very clicky buttons. I mean, I do like what they did with the L and the R buttons, where those are huge on the Vita. They kind of stick out a little bit. But yeah, one thing to note, if you're in, like, say, a twin stick shooter or so, the two control sticks that it has, the twin sticks, when you push them up, like on the right hand side, if you push it too far too forward up, I kept hitting the bottom button. I kept hitting the X button while moving that around, and I could see that kind of being a problem. I think the best place for those would probably be above the buttons, or at least further away. The screen is gorgeous. The screen is the best part. But there's a lot of dead space under the screen where they put PlayStation Vita. And they could have made the system a little bit smaller and sleeker if they did that. Well, maybe in a revision. The unit's build itself, it's kind of the same plastic that's behind the PlayStation Portable 3000 or the PlayStation Portable Go. So it's that same kind of plastic. The glass that's on it's okay. I had a lens cleaner with me, so I cleaned the face of it, so it was nice and pretty. I was also messing around with the video recording and with the pictures. The pictures are the same type of resolution that you get from the 3DS. And the front camera is at an awkward angle, and still provides the same type of picture that you get from the 3DS, which is kind of. Okay, the video quality and the picture quality, in some cases, is actually worse than the 3DS. And I feel that Sony kind of cheaped out on those cameras. They spent a lot on that screen. I think the big concentration with the PlayStation Vita, was the screen. The rest of the design is cheap feeling. And it feels like this is not a system that they should be charging $250 plus for you to purchase. I really like the boxes that the games come in. Those are really nice. They're small, and I like them. They're really nice looking. But the Vita itself right now feels very prototype-ish. Like they didn't finish it. And considering, like I said, that they posted. Actually, Sony posted, what, $2 billion loss and had their A credit rating pulled down to a BBB plus, sorry, BBB, BBB plus, sorry, three B's and one plus. B plus rating. Their credit rating was downgraded, and it's because of the Vita, and it's because of the losses they posted on the PS3, and because they've said that they won't announce any details for the PlayStation 3 successor at E3 this year. Now, I know a lot of gamers are like, well, we don't really need a new lifespan of consoles. We don't need a new line of a new generation consoles. You might not, but investors do. You see, after time, sales tend to stagnate. And when sales stagnate, investors and shareholders tend to get antsy. And they tend to be less forgiving if they don't get any type of details to excite them. So, yeah, that happened. But yeah, the Vita is interesting. Not bad. I also got to try out the CirclePad Pro, and I like it. I actually do like the CirclePad Pro. The 3DS fits snugly in it, and the battery, it's easy to put the battery in there. Resident Evil Revelations, that even the demo plays wonderfully with it. I think, and I hope that more games support it, and that someday they do a redesign which includes it, because it's comfy. It's pretty neat. I feel that Sony probably could have made something like the CirclePad Pro for the PlayStation Portable or the PlayStation Portable Go, and that would have been, especially if it the PlayStation Portable Go, they could have done that and included. Man, I feel that Sony misses opportunities a lot of times. Sometimes they really should copy Nintendo on things. Oh, speaking of copying Nintendo on things or not copying Nintendo on things, there was a patent revealed recently that Sony back in 2008 was looking into controllers with touchscreens in them. Where have we seen that before? But yeah, interesting. I think that the future of gaming where we're being pushed with like tablets and such, I think that I'll go into my views for the future of gaming in a future podcast, and we'll discuss that. But right now, I feel that the PlayStation Portable Vita, like I said, it's a nice little system, but it feels more. I was expecting more Cadillac, and instead I got Prius. I was expecting the thing to catch horrible fire while I'm holding it. It also gets a little hot on the bottom of the under the touchscreen, which I don't know. I didn't think Little Deviants was really pushing it that hard, but okay. Overall, I think the system feels like a prototype. Nice little system, not worth $250. That said, yeah, $250 for a 3DS, but with that one, at least the build quality was good, and all those problems and issues that it had were resolved in the future. Like, were resolved. With the PlayStation Portable Vita, Sony is going to have to make a more compelling argument for the $250 price tag and the price tag of buying a memory stick. I think what they need to do is include a memory stick with the system at the same price, or do bundles and do them quickly. Also, other colors would be good, and maybe if they make the sticks feel a little less cheap. Like I said, it felt like a prototype for a system, not something that should have been a retail product. Really nice screen, though. Really nice screen. The audio is pretty decent. The speakers on it are, I know there are people saying they're louder than a 3DS. They're not. They're about the same. They're about the same. I think the loudest speaker I've seen would have to be on. I know the Game Gear has a really loud speaker, but yeah, that's my impressions on the Vita. So let's go into what else is there that's happening? Well, there was a 25th anniversary Mega Man logo that was revealed. Actually, it was hidden in the iOS version of Mega Man X. So we'll hopefully see something at E3. Maybe Capcom doesn't hate Mega Man so much that they'll give us something neat for his 25th anniversary. I know that Square Enix is planning something for the 25th anniversary of Final Fantasy. There have been people speculating that the logo for it makes it look like there's going to be a 3DS release of Final Fantasy VI or something. Personally, let's get 5. We got 4 out. Let's do 5 before 6, because 5 is the best job system. 10 has a good job system and a weird sphere system, too. And Final Fantasy X HD is actually going to be a remaster, and that's going to be on the PS3 and the Vita. So the Vita is getting a good game. Unfortunately, it's Final Fantasy X and not Final Fantasy 9, 8. Well, okay, not 8. Okay, Final Fantasy 9 or 7. I mean, I think we're overdue for a remake or something of 7. I mean, we had that Advent Children thing on the PlayStation Portable. And by the way, you can't play Final Fantasy 7 Advent... Sorry, not Advent Children. The Crisis Core on the PlayStation Vita. Just like you can't play a lot of PSP games on the PlayStation Vita, even if you bought them on PSN. A lot of the games that are on PSN for the PlayStation Portable are not compatible with the PlayStation Vita yet. And also PlayStation Minis and PlayStation 1 titles, not yet. Sony has already stated that they're not going to do a UMD transfer program like they did in Japan in the United States. In other words, they're punishing the United States for the huge amount of piracy. Now, I think that the problem with piracy is that too many people rely on that instead of actually going out and buying the game. I'm going to be a little controversial here and say that if you're like, well, I downloaded Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core and I'm playing it on my PSP, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to go out there and buy a $30 or $40 PSP game. Now, Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core is now at $20, but still, if you want a good quality game, and you're not willing to dish out the $30 or $40 for it, or you don't have the balls to dish out a $30 or $40 for it, don't... I don't know, piracy sometimes bothers me. Sometimes I feel that, like, if things were a little bit cheaper in some regards, I think more stuff would get purchased, or if there was a way... What they could do is they should bring back shareware, where you can download a game, and then you have to pay to get the rest of it. Kind of like what they used to do with... think of shareware as what they do now with DLC, where they sell you the game, and then they sell you the rest of the game via DLC. Except with shareware, you got like the first couple levels, and then a little thing that popped up and said, hey, if you want the rest of this, please send some money and support this, and we'll unlock the rest of it for you. That was what PC games did. The infrastructure is there on PlayStation Network and on the Nintendo eShop and all that. Let's make this happen. I think that the eShop, while they have been good about promoting games, in fact, Nicalis, the people who put out Cave Story on the DSiWare, also Ika-chan, which they're working on, La Mulana, and Night Sky, and V6. They said that the Nintendo eShop has been a lot better about promoting titles, and I think that, well, we do have demos now for, like, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games and Resident Evil Revelations. What we could use is some demos for some of the games on the eShop. Like, I don't know, sell you the first... Like, you download the first one or two levels of Mighty Switch Force, and then if you want the rest of the levels, go ahead and be like, okay, I'll buy the game. I think that's a good idea, and we should go back to that model. I think that model's perfect. Like, I think one of the best versions of that I've seen is the demo for Limbo. That's on PlayStation Network. You download that, and when you get... You play through most of, I guess, is the first level. And then you get to an end part there, and you get attacked by a giant spider. And it says, if you want to help the boy, the main character of this, buy the game. It's kind of like they end it on a cliffhanger, and it works. The demo for, like, say the demo for Resident Evil Revelations, which also supports the Circle Pad Pro, it's wonderful. It ends on a cliffhanger, and there's a lot to it. In fact, there's two difficulty levels, all sorts of features in it. Perfect. The demo for Sonic and Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games 2012 kind of reminds me of why I'm not buying that game. It's a bit of a mini game bash where, like, you do drawing these little circles to swim, or it's just, I played through it and I'm like, I like mini game games, but mostly if they're WarioWare or Rhythm Heaven, which, by the way, Rhythm Heaven Fever is coming out for the Nintendo Wii and people should buy it. But yeah, I think that we should go back to the shareware days when it comes to our games. I mean, PC gaming had it right. And it may take a little while for console gaming and handheld gaming to get to that point. I think handheld gaming is further toward this than console gaming. But yeah, that should come back. Also, this year is the I think it's the 15th anniversary for 10th anniversary for Kingdom Hearts. And to celebrate that in Japan, Square Enix is releasing a special edition Nintendo 3DS that's black and kind of gray with little Kingdom Hearts card things on it. And that will come with Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, Kingdom Hearts Recoded, and 358 over 2 days. So, to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the first Kingdom Hearts game on the PS2, they're releasing a Nintendo Special Edition Nintendo 3DS with three side story DS and 3DS games. Okay, I'm down with that. Personally, I'd like it if they did like an HD collection for Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, and the Chain of Memories and Birth by Sleep. That'd be kind of nice. Birth by Sleep is another game that you're not going to be able to play on the Vita. But yeah, that's where we are in this. Going back to what I said about Sony losing their A credit rating, this happened less than 2 days ago. I think it was like Credit Report or Credit Watch or something downgraded Sony from an A to a 3B+. Now, this 3B+ credit rating, this rating is actually more for their stock. When you lose a lot of, when you lose a lot in your stock or so, you lose that rating. Or if they feel that you're not as solid a buy as you used to be, you lose a rating on that. This is not in referring to normal credit ratings. In fact, I think I'll take some time real quick to explain what the credit ratings are for normal people. Businesses have credit ratings, or rather ratings for their stock, and this one here is a credit rating, but it also affects their stock. Sony's A rating before meant that, yeah, their stock was a good buy and that they could borrow a lot of money. Your credit rating determines how much money you're able to buy from banks and how much money investors will put into you. For example, here in the United States, we have four different credit scores. We have three normal credit scores. They're the TransUnion, Experian, and there's Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And these are your normal three credit scores. They go from 100 to about 900. Actually, anything past 750, they pretty much doesn't matter, because after 750, you're good. 750 plus is good. Not just good, it's great. If your credit score is over 800, you could walk into there and be like, hey, I need such and such thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Bank would be like, yeah, sure, here you go. And they would. Anything below a 600 is awful. Anything above a 600 is normal. The average credit scores for the United States, for people in the United States, would range from about 630 to under 7. Anything past 7 is actually not the norm. A lot of people are below 500 because when you do things to damage your credit, that happens. Those three things, though, don't actually, those three ones, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, don't actually matter when you're going for a loan. Your FICO score matches for that. And that's separate from those. It's not a combination of the three, which is kind of weird and confusing. With businesses, your score is put, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax don't deal with businesses. You have other different credit rating agencies that deal with businesses, and they actually affect how you stand on the NASDAQ and on the Standards and Poor's rating. That's at the S&P 500. Your ratings in there, you can't be on the S&P or the NASDAQ if you've got anything lower than a B. There you've got B, B plus, A 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 pl plus, AAA plus. I can't think of any AAA plus companies. In fact, like, we don't even live in a AAA plus country anymore. But yeah, Sony's stock is still viable. They haven't lost enough to be, like, downgraded further. So I guess in comparison, you could say that the rating for a THQ, which recently had to downsize and lay off, like, hundreds of employees and is risking delisting on the NASDAQ, THQ would be a C or even a D. They wouldn't be a B, B plus, double B, double B plus, triple B, triple B plus type thing. They would be a C or a D. And that's not good. That means you need to do some restructuring, and that's just not good. This particular downgrade for Sony means that, yeah, they lost a lot of money. They're going to have to cut some people, and they're going to have to do some minor restructuring, which they did. Howard Stringer stepped down as president of Sony and joined their board of commissioners. And Kaz Hirai stepped up as the new president of Sony. After being president of Sony Computer Entertainment, he's now the president of the company and the person who yays or nays what the board of commissioners or trustees proposes. You see, with most companies, you have a board, and the board goes through and decides. They propose items for the company. They debate, like, advertising campaigns and what to do with it. The president is the final yes or no on that. Kind of similar to the U.S., where we have actually three branches of government, where you have the House of Representatives and the Senate, which make up the Congress. They write and propose the laws. The president of the United States is the final word on, like, yes or no on those, unless he's overruled by the board. I guess a good example of the board overruling somebody in a company would be if you saw the original Spider-Man movie, the part where Norman Osborn gets kicked off the board, or rather, he's the president of the company. He founded the company, but the sale of the company was proposed by the board, set up by the board, and then they overruled his objection to it and forced him out of the company. That's kind of what happens in that movie, and that's kind of how this works. Sometimes, So, pretty much, Sony's restructuring a little. I think we'll probably see a push for the PlayStation Vita, because they need to make it profitable before the end of this upcoming fiscal year, to recover their rating. So, yeah. Interesting news all around. Not too much these days. Europe is getting Kirby's Block Ball this week on the Nintendo Virtual Console, and Nintendo of Japan is getting Kirby's Dream Land 2 on Virtual Console next week. And yeah, that's what we're doing with these. I guess it's kind of 100% newsy, but it's not really, because we're going long. In fact, we felt that with the 100% newsy shows, those should be under a certain length. We feel that anything past half an hour on the news on a 100% nudity will just make it a normal Radio DMG episode. So 100% nudity, like the next time we do that, will be under 30 minutes. We want those to be under 30. Radio DMG is 30 plus, and Glorious Access, we try and cram a bunch of archive stuff and weird stuff into about 3 hours. Like I said, we're no longer putting the disclaimer in front of these, and we'll also be introducing some new things. Like we'll do our housekeeping stuff and do our shout outs to different sites and such. But for the time being, we're just going to go ahead and, that's what we're going to go ahead and kind of wing it a little bit. So this has been actually our 25th episode of Radio DMG. And, well, yay us. We're doing things a little bit differently, and we're going to be doing things a lot differently coming up with some of our upcoming episodes. So look forward to those. We're also going to be covering Anime Land with Sabi in March. I think it is. Yeah, March. As well as we still have our Gold Thingies show, which we will be recording soon. And we have a couple little things to talk about with the Academy Awards and all that, but we'll get into that later. For right now, that's our show today. We're caught up on the news. You're caught up. And this has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth with Radio DMG. Good night.
I think you need a box check.
A box check?
Yeah, it's simple. Always check the rating symbols on the front, read the content descriptors on the back. You know, a box check.
Yes!
And you can look up rating summaries right from your phone.
Hey, thanks, guys. Son, I don't think this game's for us.
Maybe you should get this one. This kid got some skills.
For more information, visit ESRB.org.
That was almost the new opening for the show.